The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
Ah, it is. And it's a Tuesday. Welcome to it. I'm Nicole Sandler here. And guess what? Laffy's back. She's emerged from Canada, eh? And she's back. Although I see she's still muted, so I can't even bring her in yet. So Laffy's here today, and I don't know what else I need to tell you. I know that you can't wait, so I'm just going to go ahead and bring her in. So with no further ado, hold on, let me bring up the video and you know, and hit it, Lauren Mayer.
If the news gives you the blues, here's the perfect place to go. It's Tuesdays with a laugh on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Oh, it is. And emerging from the great white north, it is Gotta Laugh. Hey, Laffy.
Hey.
Hey. How
I'm
are you?
I'm drowning in maple syrup.
All right. Did you bring any back?
I brought some for a friend.
Oh,
I'm getting a double.
You are? Shit.
Yeah.
All right, hold on. Bear with me. I'll play with it and see what the problem could be. I can't imagine why. We're just on one. YouTubers, do you hear a double?
I think it was just... No, it's still there. Feedback.
Is it still there? Yeah.
Yep.
I hate that. Hold on. All right, that's not it. All right, I'm going to play with stuff while we talk. So,
I mean, we just did this.
I know, right? And it was good. There was no problem, right? I don't get it. Now I've got like whiteness next to you on the
I see that.
Right?
Yeah.
This shot was perfect. Everything was perfect when we did our little like dress rehearsal thing.
Yep.
And now it's just not right. Oh well. Best laid plans and all that stuff. All
right, I'm going to
do this. I'm going to fix that, but I still haven't fixed the echo, huh?
Yeah.
And YouTube is not hearing double, so it's only you.
Of course it is.
It's only you.
Do you have that thing that you always do that makes it stop doing double?
The thing that I always do?
You always tell me it's this one thing.
Yeah, not today. I can't
hear anything of myself.
Now you're not hearing yourself at all?
I hear you. Right. I hear you.
Weird. You know, I'm so glad we test the line and everything beforehand because it worked just perfectly before.
It's perfect. We just did this like a half hour ago.
Did not change anything.
Oh, well.
I changed
If they can hear me and you can hear me, it's fine this way.
Cool. Okay. Diane Russell says audio all good on our end, Nicole. So
great. Okay.
It's you.
Well, I can hear myself through my own.
Okay. Cool.
Deal here, so that's
so,
good.
So,
I don't have two players running, but thanks for asking.
Okay. So here we are. God, what else?
Yeah.
PV is okay too. So mm-hmm. I don't know. I do not know.
I'm good now.
Okay. All right.
I don't care.
I'm going to mute everything else because I should have done it before. Anyway, so you're back. You're back. You went to Canada?
Yeah. I went to Canada. We were gone for 3 weeks.
Wow.
We actually came home a day early because we got tired of being in hotels and we realized that Hamilton could handle a really long drive. He was great in the car.
Cool.
Just great. He just laid down or he was just, nudging me a little bit for a kiss. And then, that was it. He was great.
Aww.
He barked at night in all the hotels because every little noise was new. So we didn't sleep a lot, but other than that, he was great.
Good. Oh, I saw the car pictures. It looked like he had fun.
Oh, it was great. It was like such a good trip. It's probably one of the best trips I ever took.
Wow.
And certainly one of the most successful in terms of what we set out to do, because we weren't sightseeing. People kept on Twitter saying, you got to stop at this place. You got to just take a detour and do this. Mr. Laffy had to get back for work. We couldn't even take an extra day if we wanted to. And so we were goal oriented. So we spent one night after another, driving up. And then the same thing coming back. We didn't stop for meals. We would eat in the car by a lake or something. We would go to the market and pick up some yogurt or something, you know, just really quick. We took out for dinner. We didn't go to any restaurants because of COVID. We had our N95 masks. We had like, I think I told you before I left, we bought these like sleeping bags. We're made out of sheets.
Yes, to go to like use the facilities on the side of the road. Right?
No.
Oh, this is
no. That was the tent, which we did use.
The tent to pee as
yeah,
you pulled up.
Yeah, it was our pee tent. Right. Yeah, and luckily we did because there were long stretches where there, and I couldn't even go like, you know, hide behind something because there were open fields.
Oh.
That wouldn't have worked well. So that tent worked great. And the sheets, I'm really glad we had. We ended up using them all the time, except at the inn in Canada, just to be safe because not every place was looked like they were taking care of everything.
Mm-hmm.
One place, the very last place we stayed in San Jose was horrendous. It was horrendous. The bathtub was peeling.
Oh,
like
I
I'm
saw
talking
your tweet about that.
8-inch right. peels, you know,
ew.
Like holes. Horrible. And the drain was
what
all
hotel
rusty.
Was this a chain or just a, like an
it
independent
was,
hotel?
Like one of them that you stay in for a week. I forgot
oh,
the
like
name of
Oh, like an extended
them.
Stay thing.
Yeah. Yeah. But I forgot still, the name of the actual.
Should.
But it was horrible. So we got comped because I went downstairs and told, I took a picture of the tub and said, would you want to stay in a place like this? I'm just wondering. And she looked at me and she did a double take like, oh, I get it. It's our place, you know? And she said, I just took over as manager a week ago and we have renovated some of the rooms. Apparently they stuck you in a room
ooh.
That wasn't renovated.
And they couldn't
we're so
move
sorry.
You to like a better room?
Well, we told her the next, we weren't going to move. It was one night.
Gotcha.
And we wanted to just fall asleep. We were exhausted. But Canada, forget the other place. I mean, there were gorgeous places. You know, we also stayed in some really cool places. But Canada was the goal.
Okay.
And meeting with our immigration lawyer was the goal.
Right.
And finding a realtor was the goal.
Right.
And we did everything. And talking to our people who ran the bed and breakfast or whatever they want to call the place they run now. They call it an inn, but they've closed down all but one room, and there's only two rooms. So
right.
they, you know, it's now like a bed and breakfast. They would serve us breakfast every morning on a tray. It was like in England with eggs and Canadian bacon and fruit and you name it. Every morning, a different breakfast. It was so good. And we were right on the water. I put pictures out on Twitter if anybody's interested because the pictures are really good. Just click on the hashtag. Just type out the hashtag. Laffy's Big Road Trip. All one word, because when you do a hashtag.
Right, and no apostrophe. You can't put an apostrophe in there either. Right.
And you'll see every picture, everything I wrote on Twitter.
Okay.
And but anyway, yeah, so we were right on the water. It was an absolutely stunning view. Every minute, the view would change a little with the lighting. And we had virtually no rain at all, maybe overnight when we were sleeping. I think for an hour when we passed through Seattle, it was just pouring, and we were supposed to have rain every single night, and we didn't. I mean, every single day, and we didn't.
Right.
It kept just being beautiful, and there were on one side was the water, and on the other side were forests. So, like, we would take a walk with Hammy every morning on a forest path that was really just part of the neighborhood, but it was forest. It was just, I can't even explain it. It's in a city. But it was forest.
Uh-huh.
It was just amazing. It's just like the coolest thing ever.
Okay, so now, and where was this?
This was in Port Moody. Port Moody, is about 20 miles out of Vancouver proper. It took us 40 minutes. It's like going from where, you know, where we live now in Ventura County is like driving to Beverly Hills.
Right. Okay.
It's the same kind of drive.
Okay.
And you don't even take a freeway. You take a main throughway. It just looks like a street going through a bunch of towns. And it was kind of a pleasant drive, except for the part where I went through the worst homeless area I've ever seen in my life. And that's saying something.
They're everywhere. Yeah. It's sad.
Really bad.
Really sad.
Really bad. I mean, horrible. Like it was a huge, huge area just outside of downtown, or I guess it was downtown Vancouver, before you get to the really nice section.
Right.
So that was disturbing. We did narrow it down to Port Moody, where we want to move. We went to every single municipality surrounding Vancouver.
Vancouver, right? Yeah, Kamishwari Kate in the chat room. First of all, asked, were you at the Sylvia?
Yes,
that's where it was. That was the Bad Hotel. No. Oh, that was a different place. Okay.
The All Bad right. Hotel was in San Jose.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, but you the were night at the
before
Sylvia.
We got home.
That's answering
the
her
Sylvia
question.
Was old, but it was well kept. Uh-huh. It was just really old. Like the elevators had numbers instead of digital, uh-huh. like where the arrow goes in an arc
right.
over numbers.
Uh-huh. Right.
And they had room keys, mm-hmm. like actual keys.
Right. So it was an older, you know, cool old hotel that hadn't yeah. been modernized.
Not that much. Not even modernized, but mm-hmm. It had been kept up well. It was clean. You know, I don't know if I'd want to stay there again, but the view was great. It's just not my type of hotel because right. it was a little bit too old. I love old hotels, but this was not renovated like I would like it to be.
Gotcha.
I think the bathroom was okay, but the room itself was kind of dark and old, you uh-huh. know. But we were, you know, I had such anxiety before we left because I didn't know what to expect. I had never been outside of Vancouver other than like Victoria. You know, I'd never been on the outskirts looking
right.
at it
right.
as a place to move. And so we went to all these different municipalities, which are basically like saying cities, which is like you're sure. in LA proper, right. you mm-hmm. Sherman Oaks, Encino, Tarzana,
right.
you know,
of course.
It's the same kind of feeling. And the one I thought we were going to end up wanting to explore, to live in, turned out to be really pretty houses, but what my innkeepers called a white trash area. Okay. And it turns out that the mayor there is like a Trumpy.
Oh, no, that's
and
no
so
good.
I, yeah, that was it. No I said, no, we're done there. And also even the realtor who we met down there, different one than we ended up with, he the first thing he said to us, he met us outside his office and he said, "Would you want to come in?" I said, yeah, mask. And he put his mask on. He goes, do you want to? Do you want to wear masks? And I said, well, yeah.
Yeah.
And so first he puts on this mask made out of mesh.
Oh, my God.
And well, I looked at him. I said, that's your mask? He goes, no, I'm putting on another one over it. I said, okay.
Okay.
So that was okay. But that first sort of like, do you want to wear a mask? I was like,
right.
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know you from Adam.
Right.
And he gave us some time and he showed us a bunch of pictures of places and areas and he told us where to go. And he really pushed his area, which is understandable.
Sure.
But he should have been a little more open-minded if he wanted us as customers, right?
Right.
I just got another little Zoom window that opened up. That's weird. I've never seen that.
That
happen
is weird.
Before.
I don't have another Zoom window. You have two Zoom windows.
Okay. Oh, you know what? It was me resting on. It was my cursor. Okay. So anyway, we turned out. You know, I didn't like his sales approach, and I didn't like the area. So that was that. That was our, you know, a big disappointment. Because we wanted a choice. There wasn't really a choice.
Right.
All the other areas were not what I would want.
And it's very expensive, right? It's not like it's
really
not cheap up there.
Yeah.
And you're coming from LA, the Los
I'm
Angeles
coming
area,
from
which is very expensive.
I'm coming from an area that is as expensive as what they charge, maybe a little less. So I'm used to this.
Okay. And the whole thing is you started this process of trying to move to Canada like 2 years ago. And
right.
at the time you were told tell us how long it was supposed to take. And now where are
you?
Oh,
my God. Yes. Yes. Okay. So 2 years ago, we started the process with the lawyer, maybe over 2 years ago. But I think we filed 2 years ago. It took months to get background checked, to get, I think you had a proof health issue, you know, if you have any health issues. Mm-hmm. We had to have special pictures taken, which was weird. They were kind of like mugshots. You couldn't smile.
Oh, really?
And you had to go to a place to do it, special places that do it. Had to get fingerprinted.
Yeah.
I mean, just there were so many hoops to jump through. We had to give our entire employer history. I don't remember anymore, but it was just so many things. And finally, it was submitted 2 years ago, and we were told it would take 2 years to find out, which is now.
Right.
Today is 2 years, right?
Right, right.
So a couple of months ago, we said to the lawyer, so how's it going? How long has it been? We don't even know. And he said, it's been 20 months. I guess it was 4 months ago. And now it's 30 months to wait instead of 24 months. So you've got another few months, another 6 months tacked on. We said, oh, okay. All right. We can't leave anyway because Richard's dad is 95 and we're here to take care of him if he needs us. So we're not going to run off and leave him. So that's fine. Then we met with the lawyer And he said, now it's up to 36 months.
Oh my God.
So a year from now.
So, okay. So it's not any cheaper to live, at least in that part of Canada. And actually Ron in the chat room said the cost of living in Canada is expensive. It's more expensive than some parts of this country. So you got that.
Yeah.
You got the weight, you got all the hoops you have to jump through. I mean, your boys who are grown men now have to, you know, go back to school, even though they both have masters and careers and,
right. They have to go back to school in order to get a work permit.
Wow.
It's not that they have to go back to school to go to school. That's not the requirement. In order to get a work permit easily, or more easily, they have to go to school for a year if you want a one-year permit and 2 years if you want a three-year permit.
Wow.
If you just apply for a job, there's a chance you could get one, but they'll say to you, well, you're American. Why don't we want to hire Canadians? You know, what do we want you for?
Right.
Although they're doing really well economically now, our lawyer tells us. And so it would be a little easier than it was when we first started.
Okay.
So that's good.
Well, so you got
and he expects it to stay that way. Yeah.
Right.
But they have to apply separately. And he said they shouldn't apply until you're ready to move, probably the month before you move.
Okay.
Right, before
now,
you get accepted.
Another question from the chat room. They ask, if you are an American and you move to Canada, do you get to participate in the Canadian healthcare system? Now, you told me something.
Only if you're a permanent resident or a citizen, and we would be permanent residents. We're not looking for citizenship. So the minute we get the yes, we get free health care.
Well, but you first have to find a primary care physician?
Yes, you have to. That's my biggest challenge. All the other stuff I can handle. Like, for example, let me just backtrack a little bit on what you were saying about cost of living. Gasoline there is $7 a gallon right now.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I drive an electric car, so I don't care.
Right.
And Mr. Laffey will get an electric car. He doesn't care.
Okay.
So,
okay.
But that's just for you to know.
But heating oil, unless you have an electric heater, but don't they use like oil? But just that's something to keep in mind,
well,
that heating oil is expensive.
Yeah. I don't know, but because we get free health care, I'm saving a bunch of money. You know, you have to pay higher taxes.
Yes. Yep.
I don't care. I mean, truly, I just don't care because the differences don't make me not want to move there.
Yep.
There's enough positive. There's more positive than there is negative. So it just doesn't matter.
It just doesn't matter. And I can't play the clip because I get copyright violated.
Oh, that's right.
I got copyright violated again. Last night, I could not sleep last night. And I don't know, it's like 2 a.m. and I like pick up the phone. It's like, all right, maybe there's an email I can read or something. And sure enough, there was. It was from YouTube telling me that a video from February of 2016, Universal Music Publishing Group again dinged me with another copyright violation. And they take down the video and they don't even tell you what the offending audio clip was. So I don't know what it was. And the video is no longer there, so I can't play it to find out. I don't know. But luckily, they obviously, so I have one copyright strike. Thankfully, knocking on wood laminate, I'm still streaming onto YouTube. If I get a second copyright strike, then I will be suspended from streaming. And if I get a third at the same time, then they kill my channel and remove everything. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, so we're playing with fire here, but this is my life. I've got like well over 10 years worth of shows. And back, you know, before they were ding you for this stuff, occasionally I'd play a song or I'd, you know, so they may come up. Now every time I open up YouTube to set up the interface for the show, it's like, will it let me or won't it let me?
That's horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So stressful.
Yep.
But anyway.
Okay. So some are asking, what are the positives, Laffey? Well, I know.
Well, not being surrounded by a bunch of Nazis is the main one.
Right.
I don't see how this country gets out of the situation we're in, which is why we applied in the first place. I foresaw this. Back in 2015, I mentioned it to Mr. Laffey.
Mm-hmm.
It took us years because he doesn't like change. So it took me years to convince him. And he's still like definitely convinced, but he still has this little hope bubble over his head that's saying, oh, it'll be okay. And no, I said, it's not. It's not going to be okay because Trumpism isn't going to end. Anyway, that, okay, the other positives are its beauty. There's, I love my neighborhood. I love it. I love where we live. And it's pretty here. But I mean, I can't even compare.
And people were nice, eh?
Oh my God. Thank you for bringing that up. I have not, the whole time we were there, Mr. Laffey and I kept saying to each other, we're not used to this. We're not, what? Did they just offer to do what? I mean, people were just unbelievably nice and offering things and just, I can't explain it. It was like walking into another universe of nice people who treat you like another nice person.
Wow.
And I don't know. I mean, I can't even explain it. I wish all of you could experience it. It was amazing. I mean, it was remarkable.
Okay. Now, an important question for me is the marijuana legal?
Yes.
Yes.
I saw dispensaries everywhere.
Wow. And for recreational use or just medical? Or do you know?
It looked like recreational because I didn't see any stipulation on the signs. It just said dispensary.
Okay.
You know, I casually noticed. I wasn't really looking for them.
Okay.
But I happened to notice that there were some. Unless I'm mistaken, I mean, I could be getting my days mixed up, yep. And I'm thinking of Washington or something. But I'm pretty sure it was in the Vancouver area,
uh-huh.
In the city. I'm talking about. I don't remember if it was in Port Moody or not.
Okay.
The other positives. I'm really getting tired of the heat in LA. I mean, I used to love hot weather, and now I can't tolerate it very well. It gets so hot here, like 112.
Oh, that's crazy.
You know, and I know. In Vancouver, it rains, but we can also come down here for the winters. You know, we're going to be U.S. citizens and we're going to be Canadian residents. So we thought we might spend some time down here. Maybe we'll even go to our doctors down here if we uh-huh. can't get doctors up there right away.
Oh, but that sort of defeats the healthcare purpose. So right.
The healthcare. You were asking me about that. So you have to get a family doctor. That's the requirement. And that family doctor is the one that refers you to any specialist. Now, my dad was an internist, so I grew up with doctors. And I never had a family doctor. I always had an internist as my family doctor. So I said to our lawyer, well, I'm used to just getting an internist. He says, you can't. You have to get that referral.
Huh.
I said, all right, well, I can deal. You know, it's fine. Uh-huh. But the hard part is getting a doctor. They have a shortage of doctors there, just like we do here, which we do have here.
We do, right?
And so sometimes you have to wait a year or two before you can find the doctor that you'll end up with. If you can find a friend who will refer you to their doctor, you have a better chance. And there are also, of course, clinics everywhere. You just walk in and do that. But if you want somebody who knows you and who has you have a history with, so obviously you want to have a family doctor and you want your specialist, which are probably not.
You know
hard
what?
To get.
And the Canadian Philosophy Show, who is Kate's husband, I was just informed, they're in Canada, says it is not required to have a family doctor.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what we were told.
Well, and so I guess that's not... That.
Oh, no. I mean, you don't have to have a family doctor to live there.
Right.
You
no,
have
to no, have to, a... Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. You're saying no. To participate in the healthcare system, you do. And he's saying...
No, you can go to clinics, uh-huh. but you can't get a specialist without a family doctor.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
But what he's saying is any doctor in a clinic can make referrals to specialists.
Oh, well, that's good. But you still want somebody that you're... Well,
yeah, you do.
But
it's not that you can't use the medical system if you don't have
one.
Oh,
no, obviously, but that's what I said.
Want.
There's also clinics.
Right.
But you're not going to end up with anybody you know.
Right. But they can make the referrals to the...
Yeah.
Oi. And he says, now we have anti-vax nurses holding us hostage in healthcare there too. You know,
everywhere.
We
yeah.
don't have a monopoly on crazy here.
No, of course not. They just had it before we left. There was a huge rally in Vancouver of anti-vaxxers.
Oh,
we totally
God.
Know that. But all my Canadian friends on Twitter have told me, and the people I met, obviously, that they're not as hostile, I guess, or violent.
Uh-huh.
They will protest, but they won't kill you. So that's nice. they're nicer about their anti-vax stuff. No, there is no place that's going to be perfect. Obviously.
No,
I'm not saying
obviously.
Canada is perfect.
Right.
It's not perfect. I have to put up with bad weather. I've lived in Southern California my whole life. I'll deal with it.
Yes.
I'm willing to deal with it.
Yes,
I don't like feeling threatened in my own country. I don't like watching neo-Nazis and QAnoners take over our government.
Right.
There are now four states, is it? I just read this. I mean, there's a lot of states that are trying to replace their secretaries of state, but four of them that I just read about are nominating QAnon.
Oh, God.
Neo-Nazis as their secretary of state.
That's the scariest thing, that shit is happening. And we're going to go over this, fascist cliff soon, I believe, if we're not already there. Yeah, that's what scares me.
That's what scares me. That's the reason I wouldn't have moved. I love where I am. This is a hard decision. This is hard.
Yeah.
We've jumped through so many hoops and gone through so much emotion over this. I mean, I'm stressed a lot about this, but when I was up there, I felt comfortable.
Aww.
I didn't feel threatened.
Uh-huh.
I didn't feel like people were giving me dirty looks for being who I am. Well, they wouldn't, because who knows who I am, but you know what I mean? I felt different up there. It just felt more comfortable and less threatening.
All right.
And by the time they get as bad as we are, I'll be dead.
Gotcha. We will all soon be dead. Okay.
That's dark humor.
Yes.
No, and my kids love it up there too, which is very cool.
That is cool. That's great. Yeah. And just, you remember the parameters when you find the house, it has to have an extra bedroom so I can come stay.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. There's no doubt about it, because my kids are going to have to stay with us for a while too.
I'm not worried about your kids.
I am.
I know you are, but me.
No, you are always welcome to stay with us. And so let me tell you about Port Moody. Port Moody is like a little jewel. It's a village, more or less, although, mm-hmm. it's right next to Coquitlam, which is a big city.
Easy for you to say.
It's like Westwood Village compared to L.A. proper.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
It's smaller than Westwood Village. And it's artsy. It's known as the art something. I can't remember anymore. Every sign says Port Moody art something. I can't remember. And they are strict with their zoning. Uh-huh. They aren't going to change. They've already denied the people who want to change it. So that's not going to happen, at least for 20 years.
Okay.
I'm told. And it's relatively close to everything I need. So Coquitlam would be the city I would go to for shopping and stuff like that if I need a mall.
Right.
Or, whatever. So a lot of restaurants. Or I could go into Vancouver, but that's a 40-minute drive. And another reason we were happy we chose that place is because if you go south, which was our other option, we were looking in South Surrey, which is close to the beach. There's a place called White Rock that's the beach community, and there's another beach there too, and it's also kind of a suburb, a suburban look. But then you have to cross the bridge to get into Vancouver. And anytime you cross a bridge to get into Vancouver, whether it's coming from the south or going to North Vancouver and West Vancouver and having to cross back in, you're in for an hour.
Okay.
It's really trafficy at the wrong times. So when you come in from Port Moody, it's just like fighting regular traffic and you're just going from one place to another and it's not quite as bad. So that was a good plus.
Cool.
For Port Moody.
Cool. Sounds good. I'm excited to get it done so I can come visit.
I'm trying.
I know.
I'm so trying.
I know. All right. So now you're back and it's the same shit, different day. By the way, there was a breaking news item just not too long ago.
About the guy?
No.
About the arrest?
No. I saw that the Jeff Fortenberry of Nebraska, a congressman, was indicted on. Indicted on charges of lying to federal investigators about campaign contributions. Lovely.
You know what he did? He put out a video yesterday that Scott Stedman put out. And he's in the car, and next to him or in the back seat or something is his wife and his dog. And they're smiling. And he goes, "Hi, well, we like to take these drives every so often. And so that's what we're doing right now. Anyway, let me talk to you about something serious. I'm going to be indicted." I mean, basically, he a 2-minute video talking about how he was framed or something. He did nothing wrong, blah, blah. But that was the video. And now he's in trouble.
Well, okay, but here's the news I was going to tell you. First, okay. A video emerged yesterday of Joe Manchin and Bernie Sanders coming out of the Capitol building, and reporters in there, they took a picture together, and they said, we're talking. From The Hill, breaking news. Joe Manchin, a key figure in the Democratic negotiations over a major human infrastructure spending package, told Democratic colleagues at lunch Tuesday that he will work with Senate Budget Committee Chairman Bernie Sanders and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer to reach a deal by week's end.
Oh, yeah. I did hear that.
Now, not at the lunch was Kirsten, who I now refer to as Miss Enema. Miss Enema wasn't there. She says she was at the White House talking to the president. But
sure
Miss Enema, Miss Enema has to come around and
did you just call her Miss Enema?
Miss Enema, that's my new name for her.
I love it. Do you want to share what we learned about Miss Enema today on her contributions and on Manchin's contributions?
Oh, we can do that because, you know, there's a website. If you want to find out who the biggest donors to a particular candidate are, or anything, who's taking money from whom, opensecrets.org is the place to go. And there's all kinds of, you know, different ways you can look at it. But if you, I'm searching opensecrets.org. And so I put cinema in here. If I put Miss Enema, it won't work. But cinema, and it comes up with, all right, here's her summary. And so from here, I can see that her largest contributor is Goldman Sachs. Hey, her top industries are, these are contributors. You know, the top one is retired, but then she lives in Arizona. So she's in Arizona. So there's a lot of retired people there. But securities investment is the top sector, followed by lawyers and law firms, followed by real estate. And it goes from there. Let's see, payday lenders. Oh, she's number one. She's the top recipient from payday lenders.
That's her
she's
biggie.
Number two in airlines and air transport, and number three in finance and credit. So that's where her money comes from. And I was thinking, well, where's, you know, the money from big pharma? Well, health professionals, she's up there too. She's taken $604,000 from health professionals. So it goes like this. Pharmaceutical health products, you know, recently she's taken a lot of money from them. So I think her total is not that high up on the list, but it's a new development. That's why all of a sudden she's against, you know, prescription, Medicare being able to negotiate prescription drugs. She's against that provision of this bill. Well, today I learned.
Well, then, yeah, about, like, can I read that tweet?
Yeah. Should we let loose the birdies first?
The birdies have been cooped up for 3 weeks.
Oh, my God. Well, let loose the birdies.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
Tweet. Okay. So.
All right. Yeah. Senator Bob Menendez says he's a no. Wait, I've got to move you. He's a no on the House provision for Medicare to negotiate drug prices. Huh. He's noncommittal on the idea overall. Quote, negotiations, many different ways that can take place. I'd like to finally see something that tells me what they want to do, he says. Now, what did you tell me about him?
What did I tell you about him? I've got to pull it up again. Bob Menendez is, I believe, the number one or number two recipient of funds from Big Pharma. Go figure.
You know,
go figure.
It never fails. Money talks.
Money talks. This is,
it's
sickening. We got to get the money out of politics because this shit is just wrong.
Except we can't get the money out of politics because we don't have a filibuster to break. I mean, we have the filibuster to break and to get rid of. And we can't because the people who are getting paid that money are against getting rid of the filibuster.
Mm-hmm.
So we're screwed, which is why I'm moving to Canada. Screwed.
Yeah.
Although their government, you know, I mean, not that they're angels either. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I lost all that. Okay. Contributors. Let's see. The biggest contributors. I don't even know what these are. The biggest contributors to Menendez.
Mm-hmm.
Mastic Inc., whatever that is, Garcia Hamilton and Associates, Corella Byrne et al., Florio Perucci et al. I think these are all law firms. They look like all law firms. This is just weird.
It's all
industries.
Weird.
Industries. Oh, Robert Menendez is a top recipient from the following industries in the 2021-2022 election cycle. Pharmaceutical manufacturing, number one. He's number one. And he's number three in pharmaceutical health products. There you go. That's why he's against Medicare negotiating drug prices.
There you go.
It's amazing what you can find when you play around at opensecrets.org. Your jaw will drop. I mean, you should know these things. This is how they roll in D.C. And until we get money out of politics, this is going to keep
going.
And
it's both parties. That's the emphasis right there. Because somebody tweeted me when I was tweeting about this, it's just two Dems. I said, no. Here's another one. They're all that way. What's happening is the bill is so specific that now we're finding out who is against what and why.
Right.
And we're tracking down the money.
Right. All these other senators have been keeping quiet because it's so they're letting Manchin and Miss Enema take all the heat. Now I guess it's push comes to shove. And so the other special interests are starting to rear their ugly heads.
That's right. Ugh. It's all on paper now. Now and each person is going to be exposed. It's interesting.
Yeah.
I was talking to, I have my representative from the House of Representatives, my Congress member, lives about two doors away from me. And I nailed her yesterday. I said, I got to get serious with you now. I'm going nuts. And she knows about Canada and all that stuff. And she didn't sound real happy about what was going on, nor hopeful about any of it. And she said she actually had more optimism about voting rights than she does about these bills.
Yeah, so. I hear you. Do you want to do the tweet that I tweeted that
yes,
you saw
I have
after?
It up.
Okay. Because
okay.
This
is insane. I'm going to read the tweet and I'm going to read your reaction to it.
Okay.
Right. And then I want to read one more thing that you wrote down there on the replies.
Okay.
Because it cracked me up.
Okay.
John Hinckley.
John Hinckley.
Would you like to explain John Hinckley?
John Hinckley is the man who shot and attempted to assassinate the president, Ronald Reagan. Shot him outside the Watergate Hotel. James Baker, then the press secretary, was hit and paralyzed. That's why Jim Brady. And that's why the briefing room is the James Brady briefing room, and the Brady bill
exactly.
Is about gun background checks and such. That all
so
came
John
from
Hinckley.
John Hinckley shooting them, trying to assassinate the president.
Right.
So and he did it.
He has a Twitter account.
He did it, though. People should know. He did it because to impress Jodie Foster, because he was obsessed with the movie Taxi Driver. And Jodie Foster played a young, like a teenage prostitute in the movie. And he did it to impress Jodie Foster. All right, that's all
you need to know. I'm sure she was very impressed.
Oh, yeah.
So he tweeted because he's a tweeter now.
John Hinckley, John Hinckley 20 or something? Something like that?
John Hinckley 20, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Because, we all want to follow him.
Oh, yeah. He's tweeted, he's made one tweet. And
one
it says,
tweet.
Yes.
And it says, hello, everybody. This is the real John Hinckley. I'm now a singer-songwriter. I have 10 original songs on Spotify and the other streaming sites. Check them out. Also, check out my YouTube channel. So, of course, Nicole, who's been in the music industry forever, looks at this and she quote tweeted. That means she tweeted over his tweet so he could see it and we could see it.
Right.
Is he serious? This is the last guy to attempt to assassinate a U.S. president. Bad enough he was granted unconditional release, but his attempt at making music is criminal. Plus, I'm kind of stunned this even exists. And then You tweeted, "Wait, I gotta find it." As one who played real music on the radio.
Well, but I was responding to somebody. Yes, I was responding.
Dude's got to make a living somehow, this person said. I imagine it's quite difficult to get a regular job in this situation. Why is it, quote, criminal to make music? And you said, as one who played real music on the radio for a few decades, I can hardly call his stuff music. I heard more melodic sounds coming from the cat room at the animal shelter where I used to volunteer.
Damn straight. And to prove it, I've pulled up John Hinckley's YouTube account. Now, he does do a lovely cover of Joni Mitchell's Both Sides Now. But I'm not going to play that for you because, hey, he's trying to push his original stuff. And he asked for anybody who has a record label who will release his music on vinyl to please. Oh. He wants vinyl copies of his music. So I thought we would check out one of his original songs.
Okay.
Okay. You ready?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Here's John Hinckley, and I got to tell you, he's kind of a looker.
Oh, no.
And oh boy, the singing songwriting talents are just oozing.
Oozing.
This one's called Unlock Your Heart. Oh my God. Right? Okay, so you're hearing this, right?
Okay, I give it one bullet. Well, I mean.
Okay, all right. So, John Hinckley, all right, sorry. But even better than that is, so there are comments under this video on YouTube. Let me share some of this with you. Somebody with a screen name, Senator Otari, writes, "Babe, wake up. There's a new John Hinckley song." Another one, "In an alternative universe, John Hinckley has a 40-year back catalog of classic records and multiple Grammys." Someone else, "I would love to own your record on vinyl." Right?
What?
And then someone replies, "Homie went from trying to kill Reagan to singing songs on YouTube."
He's trying to kill us
and
now.
Then it's so weird and I kind of love it. And someone else says, "I really like the lyric, quote, you got me thinking that maybe I'll succeed." Someone else says, "The dude's playing some mad 4D chess, shooting a president to get 20,000 subscribers on YouTube 40 years later."
Oh, God.
Here's someone else. "Thank you so much, John. If I had the money, I would start my own label and I'd put out your record myself on vinyl and CD. We are so blessed to have the living you among us playing beautifully. Peace be with you, my friend."
No, I swear.
And then the next person says, "I'm dying laughing at how well received this YouTube channel is." It goes on like this. And then there's things like, "He tried to kill an evil man with an evil agenda. If anything, he deserves a fucking medal." And then a response to that, "Shut your mouth, woke leftist."
And it goes
back and forth like this. "Remember, sir, the only thing you did wrong was not finishing the job."
Oh, my God.
I always listen to your music going to sleep at night. Thank you for the new release.
What?
Here's one more. "Keep up the good work, Mr. Hinckley. I'm a fan down here in Tampa Bay, Florida. I enjoy listening to your music and I like your guitar playing, buddy. Ignore the hateful idiot comments. Rehabilitation!" Exclamation point.
I shared
this and I said, very few things shock me anymore. Here, "I didn't think anything could shock or surprise me anymore, but I've been rendered speechless. John Hinckley, yes, Reagan's would-be assassin who just got an unconditional release from prison, is looking for a record deal. He wants his, quote, music released on vinyl. Okay, record industry friends, who wants to take a whack at him? He's on YouTube, Spotify, and Twitter." Oh, my God.
Oh, this is just sick.
Right? We've fallen down the rabbit hole. That this exists is mind-blowing. On YouTube, he has 22,000 subscribers. 22,000 subscribers. I have five. I have 5,000 subscribers. John Hinckley has 22,000 subscribers. I think I'm in the wrong business.
Well, he has name recognition.
Oh, there's that.
Oh, my God.
Where do you go with
that? Okay, I can't.
How do you follow that?
I can't. I'm following that with a new story. I'm moving on. That is disgusting.
Okay, wait. Just because now I got to do this. Just to share, to show you that it's not just
that. Hope you're all doing great. I just want to remind you that I have a single now out on all the streaming sites.
Now you can hear him speaking here.
The single's called We Have Got That Chemistry. It's on Spotify, iTunes, and all the rest.
Okay.
So hope you give it a listen.
Hope you do. Right.
It's a real country kicker. Right now I'm going to do a song by Joni Mitchell.
Oh. Okay.
Both sides now.
Oh, please. Here we go.
No, I don't want to hear him anymore. I don't want to see him.
Just let him sing the beginning of it. You got to hear his vocal stylings here.
Rows and flows of angel hair. And ice cream castles in the air. And feather canyons everywhere.
All right, that's enough.
Clouds that way.
But now they only block the sun. They rain. Sorry, I thought I'd drown him out.
I'm never eating again. Destroyed my appetite forever.
22,000 subscribers on YouTube.
God.
And this video, this Both Sides Now Joni Mitchell cover has 5,600 views. And it just went up a week ago, October 11th.
I'm dying. I'm on the floor dying. This is just appalling.
And when you thought things couldn't get any weirder, there's
this. Well, not only that, but it's people saying that he should have killed Reagan. And I'm assuming those are people who are maybe to the left of Reagan.
I don't know.
Why would they say that?
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't. The whole thing is weird.
I'm brain bleach. That's two words I need right now. Brain.
Right. You know, last week, you know, people are talking about, I did play William Shatner's Rocket Man, you know, to celebrate his going into, and that was bad enough. But this is in its own category.
Well, look who we're talking about. Jesus Christ. All right.
Okay.
So here's a positive end to a saga of mine. As you recall, I walked into Target and was appalled at their lax mask policy.
Uh-huh.
Because they have really good signage. They have really good, like, they have pumps of the hand sanitizer. And, you know, cosmetically, they're doing great. And they really are. But then I walk in and their employees are masked. Anyway, I went through a whole progression of trying to contact the store, trying to contact the store manager, which they would never tell me when he would be in. That was a store rule.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't. I got in contact with someone below the store manager. She promised me she would give me her phone number and call and then get in touch with me after a meeting. And she was going to present a bunch of my ideas. She never did that. I wrote to her three times. She ignored me. I was stunned because she really sounded into it, you know.
Right.
So
right.
Then things went downhill from there. So I ended up writing a letter to the top three execs in Target Corporation in Minneapolis.
Okay.
And they were registered or whatever it is. So they had to certified, I guess. And so they had to sign for the letter. And while I think the day we left, I was in the car and I get a voicemail from the liaison to the top guy at Target.
Finally.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it was pretty fast. It took a week for them to get the letter and a couple of days more for me to get confirmation that they got the letter and that they signed for it.
Okay.
And so she actually called me fairly quickly in the scheme of things.
Uh-huh.
And so I said, well, and then she emailed me too. So I emailed her back and said, I'm gone for 3 weeks. I'm out of the country. I'll get in touch with you. So I did. The day after we got back, I emailed her. She emailed me right back and she said, let's talk on the phone. I'll call you at this time. And I said, great. And she did. And we talked for 40 minutes. That's a good long call. 40 minutes to someone who's taken a call from a stranger about the, you know, anyway, She happened to sound like she agreed with me about everything. She gave me examples. You know, she sounded credible. She also said, as a corporation, we can tell the stores about the signage and stuff. We can't enforce the law. We can't do that. They can't even do that. They can't go up to someone and make them wear a mask and all that. And I said, no, of course. I said, but if your own employees are setting a bad example by running around maskless or talking to people as their masks are falling down or wearing their masks around their necks and not providing, I noticed that my target anyway, stop providing as much hand stuff and stop providing the wipes for the carts. And then one of my sons went to a different Target and the lady who was checking them out sneezed in her hands and then went on to touch their stuff. And he called her out and she gave him a dirty look. And, you know, just anyway, so I told her about that. Nice. She was appalled. She couldn't believe. And she apologized to me so many times I stopped counting.
Wow.
She was really apologetic.
Okay. Well, and we'll see if anything changes.
But we don't know it because it's the store.
Right.
It's not her.
Right. Well,
she's going to pass everything. She did call the woman who ignored my letters and talked to her about it.
Yep.
She's going to do it again.
Okay.
She also took notes on every single thing I said because she read them back to me. And she's going to pass my idea. She really liked my ideas. And while we were speaking, she had another idea. She said, I said, you know, I'm of a certain age that I feel vulnerable. And she said, oh my God, you know what? Well, no, she first asked me, do you ever go to our early hours? And I said, well, that's a time I'm not available. I'm so busy doing what I do. And it wouldn't occur to me, but I guess I should. And she goes, wait a minute. This gives me an idea. I'm going to ask for more hours for people who are vulnerable because you made me
again,
think about that.
The proof is it's nice she said all these things. Wait
of
and
course.
See if anything changes.
No, but the idea was that she did.
Gotcha.
Because what is she? Right. What else can happen?
Right. I don't
really. What
don't
else?
Know.
What else are they going to do? She could have ignored my call. She could have ignored the letter.
Yeah, but yeah, they don't want to. You know, you're a customer.
You think
I'm,
my own
I'm playing
store
devil's
cared about
advocate?
That?
No. Well, but corporate does. I have breaking news.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fox News anchor. Well, it's hard to put the words Fox and news together, but the guy who does news named Neil Cavuto. Has tested positive for COVID-19.
Oh, isn't that a shame? And you know what? I don't know if you heard this, but oh my God, I
John
forgot
King.
His name.
John King announced that he has multiple sclerosis. Well, check this out. Right. Cavuto, who has been public about his health challenges over the year, including a nearly 25-year journey with MS, was off his afternoon Fox program today as a result of the diagnosis. While I'm somewhat stunned by this news, doctors tell me I'm lucky as well, he said in a statement released through Fox. Had I not been vaccinated, and with all my medical issues, this would be a far more dire situation. It's not because I did, and I'm surviving this because I did. He did get vaccinated, although his channel tells everyone not to get vaccinated. Although his employers have a vaccine mandate, but they still tell people using the awesome power of their reach and, you know, in broadcast, not to. That you don't need to get vaccinated. Well, sorry. Yes, you do. So there's that.
Well, yeah, I just saw the tweet. In fact, Jim Sciutto says, an important and clear message from Team Cavuto, had I not been vaccinated with all my medical issues. Exactly what you're saying.
Yep.
Yep. Cluster Fox. I mean, you know.
Yeah. And can I
do as
I got to share my favorite tweet of the day so far.
Oh, okay.
From Sarah Kenzior, who writes, explaining to son that Santa needs his Christmas list now because Santa is concerned that Biden refuses to fire Ron Blum from the U.S. Postal Service Board of Governors in order to remove Louis DeJoy. Distinctly possible Santa's cover has been blown.
I like her.
I like her too. That is great. And somebody, Wayne Robbins, Professor Robbins, responded, keep the chimney clean anyway. Santa has overcome bigger obstacles.
This is true.
It is
He's
true.
Very agile too.
That's right here.
Representative Mo Brooks, this is from Business Insider, a Republican from Alabama. He was about a month late in disclosing that he sold up to $50,000 worth of stock in Pfizer, despite criticizing the COVID vaccine manufacturer and bashing mandates for people to get a coronavirus vaccine.
Oh, okay.
So what do you know? He's
what
in
do
trouble.
You know? What do you know? Hey, a few people have told me that we need to watch Don Winslow's newest video about Joe
Manchin? I did,
Manchin?
And not only that, I put it out there and he followed me because of that.
Oh, really? Well,
yeah,
here.
It's a really good one. Okay. And watch it to the end, please, because okay. The last couple of sentences are really good.
Okay. Well, then, if that's the case, mm-hmm. Let's...
You got it?
Let's do it. I do... but my framing is a little off. Give me one moment.
Well, while you do that, I'll read you another tweet.
Okay.
Good news. This is from Kyle Cheney. Good news for the January 6th committee. The Trump executive privilege lawsuit has been assigned to Judge Tanya Chutkan, who had expressed horror about the January 6th attack and extended sentences beyond what prosecutors Ooh. Have asked for in a couple of cases. She's the one that everyone has been praising because she has gone above and beyond what the other judges have done to these insurrectionist
right.
Terrorists.
Good.
So that's their judge. They lucked out.
Very cool. Glad to hear it. All right. Let's, I'm going to have to extend this a little bit, but that's okay. We can get it started. So this is Don Winslow Films, his latest video. It's called Joe Manchin for Sale, it appears. And it goes like this.
What was your salary last year?
About $18 million.
It pays to be a member of Joe Manchin's family.
Follow the money.
Joe Manchin has represented West Virginia for 40 years. Delegate, state senator, secretary of state, governor, U.S. senator. 40 years and West Virginia is still the second poorest state in the country. Economy. West Virginia ranks 48 out of 50 states.
Thank you, Joe Manchin.
Healthcare. 47 out of 50 states.
Thank you, Joe Manchin.
Education, 45 out of 50 states.
Thank nice. You, Joe Manchin.
Infrastructure, Ooh. Wait for it, 50 out of 50 states. Manchin has an estimated net worth of $8
million. Follow the money.
While the average annual income of West Virginia is just $26,000.
Wow.
Manchin receives a taxpayer-paid salary as a U.S. senator of $184,500. So he didn't get his $8
million
there.
Nice shot, Joe.
So where does all the money come from? Manchin receives $491,000 annually from his son's coal brokerage company, Ooh. Enter Systems.
Okay.
His wife, Gail Manchin, received $613,000 from Enter Systems.
Ouch.
That's $1.1 million to Manchin and his wife from his family's energy company. Manchin makes five times more from his family's energy company than he does as a U.S. senator. Joe Manchin has blocked President Biden's infrastructure plan from moving forward because he wants to kill legislation to replace coal-fired plants with clean energy. Manchin is selling out his own country to protect big coal and big oil who own him.
Joe Manchin, I talk to his office every week. He is the kingmaker, and he's not shy about sort of staking his claim early.
The chairman of the committee that regulates coal shouldn't be a part owner of a coal company.
This is Heather Manchin, Joe Manchin's daughter. After lying about having an MBA, she was named CEO of Mylan Industries. She artificially jacked up the price of EpiPens by 461% and was awarded with a 671% salary increase.
Wow.
West Virginia is poor, poorly educated, and broken, but Joe Manchin and his entire family have become multimillionaires.
West Virginia, abused and suckered for 40 years by Joe Manchin.
There you go. So, interesting. Joe mm-hmm. Manchin and West Virginia, not heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River, just in case you were wondering.
I wasn't, but yeah. by the way, one more thing on the Target thing.
Yeah.
Because we're talking corporate versus store.
Yeah.
I was impressed that they got back to me with such vigor and such apologies and all that. That doesn't happen. At least not to me.
Right.
But what she did tell me, and this is for people who might have the, you know, similar problems with their Target. She says, go to their, what she called leadership team. Everything's jargon, but go to their manager store, you know, store or something.
Yeah.
And tell them every time you do have a complaint about something like that, because what they do is they actually do listen to the customer's complaints and they have meetings about them. And if they get enough meetings, they start acting. She just tell me that. She said, keep
okay.
on them. Don't stop. She goes, you've gone through so much with us already, but keep on them. So it's just something to know.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah. Anyway, Iowa, this is the Des Moines Register, Iowa Democratic Party chair.
Yeah.
He reported a lynching threat after writing an op-ed critical of Trump.
Oh, my God. we have gone off the deep end. This country is, there are weird, sick people all around us. Just be careful, everybody, because they're out there and they're frightening.
Which is another reason
to move to Canada.
They don't do a lot of guns in Canada. Have you noticed that?
No, I don't know.
Yeah. No, it's way. I mean, like it's virtually non-existent. It's not non-existent, but compared to what we have, it's like zero. So somebody sent me the statistic just yesterday. I think it was. It was like nothing. Just so you know.
Okay.
Mexico. Okay. So I tweeted that California is the only state in CDC's third lowest tier for COVID spread. Most other states are in the red tier. And Lalo Alcaraz, who does La Cucaracha comic strip, he said California Republicans are seething in anger that they aren't dying at higher rates.
They are. Good to know. Ding. All right. On that note, Laffy, we're done. It's the end of the hour.
Done.
You're back. Yeah.
I'm back.
Yeah. Yeah. For now, anyway. All right.
Yeah. Well, for now. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you. It's always good to see you.
It's good to see you.
Yeah.
All
right. No more listening to John Hinckley.
God.
Oh, my God.
I'd already put him out of my mind.
Yeah. I'm going to keep reminding you. All right. Don't forget, tonight at 7:30. 7:30 Eastern, allegedly, the House votes on referring Steve Bannon to the Justice Department for criminal contempt charges for ignoring the subpoena. We'll see what happens. I can only imagine like how much better things might be if Merrick Garland were still alive.
Merrick Garland were still alive. Okay.
There you go. On that
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Say goodnight, Gracie. All right, goodnight, I'll leave you with the news. Thanks, Laffy. See ya on the Twitter machines.
Bye.
All right, and here is the news. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
We're talking.
Senators Bernie Sanders and Joe Manchin emerged from a meeting Monday evening as they try to come to an agreement on moving forward with the human infrastructure part of the two-part Build Back Better plan. On Tuesday, President Biden will host a number of members of Congress throughout the day, again trying to reach a final compromise. I'm thinking they must be fairly confident, as Biden has agreed to participate in a CNN town hall Thursday night. Stay tuned. Well, the House is back in session on Tuesday. The select committee working on the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol, dealing with what to do about Steve Bannon and the others who failed to comply with the congressional subpoena. The committee issued a report yesterday. It details how Bannon evaded the committee's subpoena request and could be used to set up a vote today to hold Bannon in criminal contempt for not complying. The committee could also use this information to force Bannon to testify and as a warning to Trump's other allies that the committee wants to question. As part of the process, on Monday, the committee released a resolution that will be voted on. The committee's asserting that Bannon, a former Trump aide and podcast host, has no legal standing to ignore the subpoena, even as Trump's lawyer has argued that Bannon should not disclose information because it's protected by the privilege of the former president's office. Huh? Meanwhile, the former guy, true to form, filed his own lawsuit yesterday seeking to block the release of documents related to the January 6th attack. The select committee investigating the insurrection wants documents on all activities at Trump's White House during the riot and other information on his efforts to overturn President Biden's victory in the November election. Trump said in his lawsuit that the committee's demand was, quote, almost limitless in scope, seeking unrelated material on a, quote, vexatious illegal fishing expedition that was untethered from any legitimate legislative purpose. Yeah, he knows all those words. The Biden administration has cleared those documents for release, saying the seriousness of the attack justified waiving the privilege normally protecting White House communications. Speaking of the former guy in lawsuits, the orange one sat for his first deposition under oath since before he took office in 2017. It was in a 2015 lawsuit filed by protesters who accused the then candidate's security guards of assault.
Well, just moments after the news broke Monday morning that former Secretary of State Colin Powell had died, a death deemed COVID-related, that the liars over at Fox started using it to further raise doubts about the vaccine. Anchor John Roberts tweeting that Powell's death raises new concerns about the vaccine's efficacy. The fact is that Powell suffered from multiple myeloma, a cancer of the blood that suppresses the immune system. Oh, and Parkinson's too. Roberts since deleted his tweet, but he was far from alone. Others of his ilk made similar statements. In fact, Tucker Carlson told his audience that Powell's death was more proof that Americans are, quote, being lied to about the vaccines. Why is that man still on the air? But the prize for the most insensitive reaction to the death of a notable American comes from the former guy. Oh, yeah. He issued a statement saying, quote, "Wonderful to see Colin Powell, who made big mistakes on Iraq and famously so-called weapons of mass destruction, be treated in death so beautifully by the fake news media. Hope that happens to me someday. He was a classic rhino, if even that, always being the first to attack other Republicans. He made plenty of mistakes, but anyway, may he rest in peace." You can't make this stuff up. In other vaccination news, a third of Chicago's police officers, about 4,500, haven't disclosed their COVID vaccine status by the city-required deadline, now setting up a dispute that could lead to more firings. Of the police department employees who've reported their status, roughly 84% were fully vaccinated, that according to city data. Meanwhile, the Food and Drug Administration may soon allow Americans to be inoculated with a different type of COVID-19 vaccine as a booster shot than what they originally received. This would be particularly notable for those who received the one-shot Johnson & Johnson vaccine, so they could get a booster of Pfizer or Moderna. By the way, infections and hospitalizations are down globally, but possible mutations have scientists issuing warnings that the pandemic is still far from over. In election news, Texas Republicans approved redrawn U.S. House maps that shockingly favor incumbents and decrease political representation for growing minority communities, even as Latinos drive much of the growth in the country's largest red state. Civil rights groups sued before Republican lawmakers were even done with this partisan project. Speaking of partisan projects, Sinclair Broadcasting, one of the nation's largest purveyors of right-wing propaganda, was hit by a ransomware attack. It started Saturday, and by Monday, virtually all of its 185 television stations in 86 markets were affected. One reporter said, quote, "Still no email, phones, file, video, or graphics. They expect us to keep broadcasting as if we aren't down. In my 10 years, I've never seen anything quite like it." And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener-supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.